is something that everybody should involve themselves in to one degree or another, and that is memorization. Let's all say that. Memorization. Everybody say, I can and will memorize. I can and will memorize. Now, some of you think, now, I just don't have that kind of a brain. Herbert memorizes very well, but I don't memorize well, and that's just not my calling to memorize. Everybody can memorize to one degree or another. I'm not saying every Bible quizzer should try to memorize the entire book. If you can, by all means, you should. But every quizzer should memorize portions of the book and certain key verses that you have a sneaking suspicion might come up as quotation questions in quizzes. So everybody should involve themselves with memorization to one degree or another. Now, let's think about memorization a little bit. What makes us remember anyway? Most scientists agree that thinking and remembering are electrochemical processes. The brain is something like a huge telephone switchboard. Everything we see, hear, smell, taste, feel, or think is given its own little electrical circuit between our brain cells, and it's filed permanently. For instance, how many of you have ever got out your sixth grade school yearbook and looked at that person you haven't seen in 4 years, and their name just comes back to you like that? You haven't seen them in 4 years, and you hadn't thought about them, but somewhere, when you looked at that picture, that name was stored in your brain, and it came right back. A few of us don't have as good of brain cells, and we look at that picture, and we say, oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. I didn't know our tongues stored anything, except mine enjoys strawberries, but it's not on the tip of our tongue, that's just what we say. But it's there. Somewhere it's stored, and we're trying to pull that back, and we're about to pull that back. And just as you have to dial a certain sequence of digits to make a particular phone ring, a certain circuit of brain cells must be stimulated in your brain to help you remember a certain fact. Now, how do we remember a fact whenever we wish to? Well, imagine an old muddy dirt road. How many of you have ever seen an old muddy dirt road? I grew up in southern Illinois, and we had a lot of them there, a whole lot of them. And so I'm well familiar with muddy dirt roads. I lived in another town. It's a teeming metropolis of Cesar, Illinois, for several years, and had a lot of muddy dirt roads around that little town. I think the population of that town is somewhere around 2,000. Am I right? That's what it was when I lived there, I think. But now imagine a big old farm truck going down a muddy dirt road. Well, what happens after that farm truck's gone down it about five times? What starts being formed in the road? Ruts. Ruts. Let's all say ruts. The keys to memorization are repetition and concentration. Now, if we keep sending that old truck down that road enough times, what's going to happen to those ruts? Huh? They're going to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's how we learn things and store things in our brain. We go over it and over it and over it and over it. Let's say that. Over it and over it and over it and over it. Until we get some deep ruts formed in our gray matter up here, to where those ruts are so deep when that quizmaster says something, it just goes, bing! And we know that, you know. Now, the keys to memorization are twofold. Not just repetition, but also concentration. Now, imagine that same old farm truck, and you put 2 tons in the back of it. It's not going to take as many trips down that road to form the same amount of deep ruts or the same depth of a rut if you put a lot of weight in the back of the truck. And I've seen some quizzers, and they say, oh, I've got to study today. Coach said I've got to study. I've got to turn in this timesheet, and if I don't turn it in, he's going to yell and scream and maybe have a heart attack, and I love my coach. I don't want him to die yet. So I've got to spend some time studying today. Boy, it's a pretty day. All my friends are out there playing.
ball, and I wish I could go out there and play ball. Okay, chapter 2. He said, review chapter. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, who said, well, thou art that judgest for a word, and thou judgest another. Well, I wish I could be playing basketball. Thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. You're not going to get too much out of that, are you? You don't have much in the back of your truck. It makes a big difference in your study time whether or not you are concentrating and have much in the back of your truck. You can study 40 hours a week like that and not get very much because you haven't made those ruts in your brain go very deep when you don't have much in the back of the truck. Let's all say, load down the back of the truck. Load down the back of the truck. And the only way you do that is say, hey, okay, if I'm going to study this time, I can't be playing ball anyway. For you girls, I can't be playing dolls with the neighborhood. No, just kidding. I can't be doing that anyway because I'm going to be deciding. I might as well make the time count. Let's say that. Make the time count. Let's say, put something in the back of the truck. Let's say, I will concentrate. Shutting everything out of my mind, including dolls and ball playing, except what I'm studying. That's what concentration is. So then I go, therefore thou art inexcusable, man. And I'm really bearing down and concentrating, putting something in the back of my truck, and that's going to make my memorization and my review much more effective and do a lot more for me. What are the keys to memorization? Repetition and concentration. Both. Okay. It's so important to have both. Now, there's a method of memorization that I have found personally to be the most effective, and I say that personally because I've done this with my team at times. Not ever the whole book, but every year when I saw them kind of lagging a little bit, and I never did like that, by the way. I would challenge them. I'd say, all right, you bunch of lazies. They knew I loved them. We coaches are going to challenge you to a quiz in front of the whole church. And I was taking on the national champions when I said that, and I was inside. I was going, but I didn't let them know that. I said, we're going to give you all you can handle. So I started studying by the same methods that I required my quizzers to use. And I put myself through what I put them through and made myself do it this way. And I found that this was a very effective study technique personally. So I'm not just telling you how, I'm telling you something I've done too and required my quizzers to do for several years. And say my quizzers thing aren't mine anymore. I'm not coaching at all. I have anything to do with it this year, but for several years I have. And that method of memorization is what I call the phrase 15 method of memorization. And by the way, we beat them. We coaches beat them. Of course, we didn't tell them what chapter it was going to be over. They just had to know it all. And when we got there, it was over one chapter that we'd been studying. But they were supposed to know it all. We had to, you know, balance the scales a little bit. Let's all turn to chapter 15 of Romans. How many of you have already memorized chapter 15? Good. We're all going to memorize chapter 15, verse 1 together this morning by the phrase 15 method to demonstrate it to you. Turn to chapter 15, verse 1. First thing you do when you find a verse like that is you break it down into phrases that seem to go together. Now, my phrase may be different from your phrase. Everybody has their own sense of what phrase goes together best for them. But for this morning, we're all going to do it together, so we're going to take these phrases arbitrarily. Let's all read it out loud together. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let's break that down into phrases. Now, I think the good way to do that would be the first phrase might be we then that are strong. Second phrase, let's make ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Third phrase, and not to please ourselves. Okay? Now, let's all, coaches included, all the quizzes say amen, amen. Because I'm going to ask some of these coaches to stand and quote it to us this morning, okay? So you coaches better put something in the back of your truck, too. Okay, let's start with the first phrase. We're going to look at it, make sure we're saying it right, see if there's anything that can help us with any peculiarities. We're going to make sure we've got the singulars right or the plurals right. And we're going to memorize it. Okay, first phrase, we them that are strong. Now, immediately what I would do to myself is say, then that, the. So I won't quote it someday saying, we then which are, or we then who are. You know, if I think of that, the, sounds dumb, but it'll help me remember that on this verse it's then that. I'll just say that to myself, you know, just a little bit, then that. Okay, that's the only trouble spot in that. We then that are strong. Because when a quizzer misses a quote, it's not usually a big word or a seemingly important word. It's one of these indefinite articles that they get goofed up. We then that are strong. Okay, now we're going to apply the 15 method to this phrase. We're going to say that 5 times together. Look at me, not at your Bible. We then that are strong. 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 Let's check ourselves. Make sure we're not goofing. We're okay. We then that are strong. 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 Check yourself again after number 10. We're okay. Let's keep going. We then that are strong. Put something in the back of your truck. Don't just do repetition. Concentrate too. We then that are strong. 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 Okay, let's go on to the next phrase. Ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Okay, let's go 15 on that one. Ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. 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 Let's check ourselves. We're right. Let's go on. Ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Important point. Ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We're not making any mistakes. We can go on. Ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. 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 Okay. Now, should we go on to the next phrase? No, we shouldn't. What should we do? Combine the first two. Now let's look at them. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Okay, let's put those together 15 times. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Let's check ourselves. You sure don't want to program any wrong things, make any wrong ruts in here. Wrong ruts are terrible. Okay, here we go. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Now I'm going to give you a break and let you leave off the last 5 for time purposes, but you would go on and finish 15. Now let's go on to the next phrase. And not to please ourself. No, selves. And not to please ourselves. Okay, let's go 15 on that. And not to please ourselves. 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 Let's check ourselves. Selves. Here we go. And not to please ourselves. 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 Let's check ourselves. Okay. And not to please ourselves. And not to please ourselves. Do you have something in the back of your truck? You better, because I'm going to call on some people. I'm going to volunteer some people. Okay? And not to please ourselves. 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 Okay, for the sake of time, now we're going to go back and combine it all. But you would do each phrase 15 times without mistake. If you make a mistake, you start over. Okay? Now let's go back and read the whole verse through. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Ready? Here goes. Nobody looking. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Ooh, I heard a mistake. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let's check ourselves. Okay, we're right on. Now let me tell you something. If this is just rote, like a computer, you're not going to be able to answer some of the questions. Because the only thing you're going to be able to do is spit it out as a whole verse. Think about what it means. It's much easier to memorize when you're thinking about what this means. If you don't understand what the verse means, go to your coach and say, "Coach, I'm having trouble with this verse because I don't really understand what it means. Can you explain it to me?" He says, "No, this is so obscure, I can't." We'll say, "Coach, would you please go to an amplified Bible or go to the pastor or something and help me understand what it means?" Because once you understand what a verse means, it's much easier to memorize it. Have you ever noticed that, Quizzers? It's important. And besides, you're going to have to answer questions on it, not necessarily just spit it back. So you need to understand what it means and not just approach your quizzing from a pure rote, a spitting something back standpoint. Okay. Five more. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now let's have a coach stand and quote that to all of us. Let's see. Let's have Brother Null from Springfield, Missouri, stand and quote that to all of us.
We that are strong.
Where are his quizzers? Are you going to have mercy on him? But the next time you do that, he will understand. Isn't that wonderful what I've done for you? Okay. Now let's have Sister Tricia. Give her a hand. Okay. Let's have Brother Mays. Good, let's give him a hand. Okay, let's have Sister Coogan. Good. Now, is there a quizzer in here who had not been memorizing because you thought you couldn't? If there's any quizzer out there in here, would you please identify yourself by raising your hand? Okay, you from Calvary Tabernacle in the peach-colored orangey dress. Would you stand and quote it for us? Let's give her a hand. Did you say your name was Gertrude? No, what's your name? Lori. Let's all say, Lori, you can memorize. Lori, you can memorize. Part of the Quitters Creed I'll be giving you later is I can and will memorize. Everybody can memorize to one degree or another. Now, what would you do after you got verse 1 down? Go on to what? Verse 2. Break it down into phrases. Apply the 15 method to each phrase, combine the phrases, and put it together. Then what would you do? Go on to verse 3? No, you'd go back and combine 1 and 2. Then go on to 3. Combine 1 through 3. Go on to 4. Then maybe you go on to 5 and combine 1 through 5. Do you see how you can memorize a whole chapter that way if you apply yourself? Let's all say how to get the most out of my study time. How to get the most out of my study time. Now, what is so vitally important is that after you have spent all that time working to memorize something, that you don't let it go out the window. There is nothing more important in Bible quizzing than consistent review. That's why I underlined it 5 times. Let's all say it 5 times. Review, 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 review. You should review even if it means postponing new learning, because after you've spent all that time and effort to learn something, if you don't review, it's like throwing it in the garbage can. All that work. It is absolutely nothing but ignorant to have ever learned a chapter and lose it because you failed to review it. I'll say, don't be stupid. It takes a long time and a lot of work to memorize a chapter, doesn't it? And then if you don't review it, you're human enough that you're going to lose it, because the keys to remembering and memorization are repetition and concentration. Now, you go over it enough, you might be able to skip 3 days without reviewing it and still bring it back, but you should review everything you've learned at least every third day, and I recommend every other day. And as the year gets farther along, say about July or August, every day. Go through the whole book every day. I can't. If you study effectively and long enough and efficiently and review enough, you'll get to where you can get more and more and more. What's that old adage? Practice makes perfect. Okay. Now, I'm going to talk to you about some effective methods of reviewing, because reviewing is such an important part of a quizzer's study time. And one of these methods is called referencing. After I have memorized chapter 15, verse 1, you know what the next thing I do is before I even go on to verse 2? I go to my handy-dandy shoebox, because they're cheaper than these things. And I get a card, a 3x5 card, and I write that verse by memory on one side. And then I check to make sure I got it right. And then I turn that 3x5 card over to the other side, and what do you think I put there? The reference. 15:1. And I build a card file of my own on every verse of Romans that I have memorized. Now, Romans is so short that many quizzers could memorize the whole book, because it's only 433 verses. Now, on a book like Acts, it's much more difficult. But you write it on a 3x5 card. Then when you have successfully memorized all of chapter 15 and your coach writes down, this week, Horace, I want you to spend Monday reviewing chapters 14, 15, and 16. What does Horace do? He gets his cards on 14, 15, and 16. He's got them by chapter, rubber band around them, or filed somewhere in his shoebox, or whatever he's using, and he takes the rubber band off. Doesn't go in order. That's too easy. He mixes those cards up. And if he wants to do it the easy way, he has the side up with the verses written. He looks at that verse and starts reading it, and just as soon as he can, he tells himself the reference. 15:8. 15:7. 15:22.
Is there 22? Yeah.
Okay. See the point? And that's how you learn where things are. Because Melvin Messy's room needs to be organized. How many of you have messy rooms at home? How many of you have ever heard your mother or father or someone say, a place for everything and everything in its place? Well, it needs to be that way in Bible quizzing too. You need to not only know the chunks of information found in the Book of Romans, but you need to know and have categorized in those ruts in your brain where each bit of information is categorized. And how do you do it? Do you see how this is a double benefit? You're reviewing the material and you're learning where that material is found. Now, once you get that down, you do it the way that really gets fun. You turn them around the other way. 15:3, and then within 2 seconds, you try to start quoting that verse and see if you can quote it perfect. And if you can get it down to where 2 seconds after you've seen that reference, you can begin to quote that verse and quote it right, then you're just beginning to get to where you know the book. See, coaches never ask your quizzers, do you know chapter 15? Well, there are so many definitions of knowing that quizzer can nod his head yes and not really be lying. He just has a different definition than you do what it is to know a chapter. You never ask your quizzers, do you know it? You sit them down and say, oh, would you give me your cards on chapter 15, please? I'm going to sit down with you before you go home from church tonight, and we should be able to knock this off in 10 minutes. And you start calling the verses out to them and see if they know it. And you decide whether or not they know it. All the quizzers say amen. Oh, me. Referencing an excellent review technique that will help you never lose something that you have already learned. Maybe you think you understand. Okay. There's another method of review that I have found most effective, and this one is wonderful because you can do it almost any time of day, anywhere. You can do it riding the bus to school in the morning. You can do it brushing your teeth. You can do it taking a shower. That is, if you don't have to concentrate too hard to do that. This is something you can do while you take out the garbage, while you wash the dishes, while you study history. No, you should have your mind on studying history when you're doing it. You can do it during a dull history lecture at school, though. And it's called speed quoting. Let's have a pretty good experience quizzer come up here. Let's see. That might be in here. Rodney. Come up here, Rodney. Real quick. Now, Rodney, do you know the chorus Amazing Grace? What are you, a reprobate? You don't know Amazing Grace? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved wretch like me. I once was... Do you know it? Maybe we ought to go to Mary Had a Little Lamb for him. You know Mary Had a Little Lamb? You know Amazing Grace. What's a chorus you do know well? We'll try Amazing Grace. Okay, now we're going to have a little experiment here to demonstrate what speed quoting is and how it can help you and how you can do it at almost any time. Rodney is going to quote out loud as fast as he can the first verse of Amazing Grace. I am going to speed quote it. The first verse. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound it saved. Well, it doesn't have a chorus. It's just verses. Okay. Now, Brother Smeltzer is going to say go, and we're going to see who wins, okay? You're slow. Let's try it again. Okay? Say go, Brother. Now, do you see the point? What can we do faster than we can speak? We can think words faster than we can speak them. So once we have a chapter completely memorized or a certain set of verses completely memorized, thank you, Rodney. Let's give him a hand. We can think them through faster than we can actually speak them. So while you're washing your hair in the morning, we can just think that through, that whole chapter in your mind. And don't cheat. Say every word.
your mind. But try to see how fast you can get. In fact, you can kind of make a mini Olympics of it. If your study starts getting boring to you, you can use this little formula here. Write it down if this appeals to you. And keep your verses per minute chart on every chapter that you know. And that formula that you figure your verses per minute on a chapter is like this. The number of verses in that chapter times 60 seconds per minute. So chapter 15 has 33 verses. You would multiply 33 times 60 and divide that as you time yourself. Now that's difficult to use it to do in the shower, timing yourself, unless you have a waterproof watch. The number of seconds used to quote the chapter. Okay? And if you can get up to 20 VPMs, or 20 verses per minute, on a chapter, you're getting there. You know it, sort of. If you can get up to 40, you know it. Now, what's that going to do for you? Why do this? I'll tell you why. There's something in Bible quizzing called recall speed. Have you seen some teams? Quizmaster's going along. What happened in chapter 3, verse 14 to Paul's totem? Man, they are on it, and they don't have to sit there and... Okay. They don't have to do that. Because they have gone over that so much that when Paul's toenail is mentioned, man, it's right in their brain. It's coming out. Have you ever seen a quiz like that? And immediately they just start giving the answer. Now, it's always good to think before you answer, even if it came quickly. Check it out. But you know what I mean? They don't have to try to pull it out from Mars. Because they've gone over that enough that it just pops in their mind. That's what speed quoting does for you. It increases your recall speed. Some of you think you have an idea of what I mean by recall speed. That's what speed quoting does for you. It's an excellent method of reviewing a chapter. Now, there's a little chart that we used in Cincinnati. You keep the chapter numbers, your quoting speeds, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Here you'd have your record time, your worst and your best for each day. And you're always trying to break your record. Therefore, you're trying to get faster and faster and faster with your recall speed of the information in that chapter. Okay. So I'll say speed quoting. Now, there's another element. Those are review techniques. There's another element of Bible quizzing for the quizzer that is so vitally important, and it's called speed. Now, I'm not talking about amphetamines. I'm talking about getting that little thing in the middle of that gizmo in front of you pressed down before anybody else presses it down. Because you can know ever so much. You can be able to quote that book backwards and forwards and inside out. But if you can't get to the buzzer, nobody will ever know. You've never been frustrated by sitting there knowing the answer while someone else quoted it, but you were so slow to the buzzer you didn't get a chance. Speed is important in Bible quizzing. So it's something that needs to be worked on. Some things don't ever work much on speed. Now, it's my feeling that the thing that will increase your speed more than any other factor is knowledge. Confidence in what you know in the book. But there's also a factor called pure mechanics of learning how to get to that buzzer quickly. And I have seen some girls that did not have near as fast of what we might call reflexes beat some guys with fast reflexes to the buzzer like crazy because the guys tried to kill the buzzer, you know. And that little sweet thing over there that you'd think wouldn't be coordinated enough to you know, play wiffle ball, she beats the socks off of that big bruiser because she's learned how to effectively hit the buzzer. Now, tell me what's wrong with this.
too much airspace. It's all say airspace. Don't kill the buzzer. Who cares if you kill it or not? You constantly have to be buying new doorbell buttons for your buzzer machine. Just get the thing down as quickly as possible. Now, one method you can develop, coaches, to help you in this is you can get a nice piece of maybe a 2x6 and put spikes in the bottom of it and put it about 6 inches over everybody's buzzers. And if they have so much airspace, they'll be sorry. Of course, they may not be able to clear the rest of you either. No, I don't suggest that, but I have put things over them before. Just to emphasize the point, if I had a quitter that tended to want to make a nice big arc, you know. Let's all say, keep the airspace down. It's just a principle of physics. The more airspace you have, I don't care how fast you are, the longer it's going to take you to make that buzzer connect and put the light on. Okay. Another thing you can do, that's just a basic principle, is have speed drills in your practice sessions. How many of you are having speed drills? Everybody should have speed drills in your practice session. One simple speed drill is the old 1-2-3 go thing where the coach says 1-2-3 and they vary the intervals of time between 3 and go. And the first quizzer that responds after they say go gets a point, and anyone who jumps the gun loses a point. Keep them honest. So it's 1-2-3-go. 1-2-3-go. 1-2-3. And someone will hit it by that time when they get so antsy. But that's one form of speed drill, coaches, that might help you. Another form of a speed drill is to find a similar book to the book of study that's worded similarly. In other words, if you're studying Romans, Hebrews is kind of like Romans in its wording. First and Second Corinthians are sort of similar. So you go maybe into First Corinthians, and you get in chapter 3, you say, now I'm going to announce a key word, and I'm just going to start reading a verse, and when I say that key word, you go for the buzzer as fast as you can. That gives your quizzers to start listening and anticipating key words. Have you noticed that some quizzers respond after the fact while other quizzers are anticipating which direction that question is going ahead of time? Which one's going to get to the buzzer first? Huh? The one anticipating which way that question is going to go. And if they've done a lot of speed quoting and referencing, they're going to have quicker recall speed to be able to anticipate better. See how it all goes together? All these things and all these factors? So take them into, say, 1 Corinthians and say, all right, the word is one. Now he that planteth and that watereth are one. Okay? When that word is said, they can go and keep track of who wins the speed drills. And you'll create some good competition in your team. If you have two girls that are a whole lot slower, we all know that girls are slow. No, just kidding, girls. Take them off to the side and work them together. Don't let Billy Boozer that's beating the sock off of them every time keep doing it against them, because he'll just discourage them. Take them off to the side. If they're about even, let them compete among themselves. And then, after they've gotten better, bring them up against Billy, because Billy's going to keep helping them. It's just like ping pong, tennis, racquetball, anything. You don't get better when you play somebody equal to or worse than you. The only way you get better is to go against somebody that's much better than you. Okay, speed. Let's all say speed. And then when they really know the book, the best speed drill that I have ever come up with is this one. All of you quizzers, I'm going to start reading from chapter 1, and when I make a mistake, you raise your hand. And this is how it works. Coaches, when you make a mistake, they go for that buzzer as quick as they can and correct you. They have to be able to correct your mistake. They have to get there first to get a point. If they hit when you didn't make a mistake, they lose a point. If they can't make the right correction, they lose a point. Okay, you ready, quizzers? To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace unto you. And what did I say wrong? Something real obvious? No. What did I say wrong, Lori? Unto instead of to. You see how it works? And that's a double drill because it helps your quizzers know their content and it helps them on speed.
Speed is important. Let's say that. How many of you noticed that already in this tournament, that speed is important? You can have it memorized backwards and forwards, but once you get up against a team like 13th and Gravoy or Gorville, if you do not interrupt, you will not get to open your mouth. Because there's no such thing very often as a question that Connie or Anita are going to interrupt, because they have trained themselves to learn the art of interrupting. You've got coaches to get your kids into interrupting. And you say, I don't want a run and gun team that's always missing these interrupts and giving the other team rereads. Well, that's fine. I agree. I do not like missed interrupted questions any more than you do. But I do like to get a chance to answer a question now and then, you know. So if you don't interrupt at all, you might do fine against the team 20 miles away from you that doesn't interrupt too, you know. But you're not going to do very fine against teams that have trained themselves in interrupting, because they practice it and practice it and practice it and practice it to where they're going to be right about 70 to 80% of the time. And if a quizzer gets to where his interrupt percentage is 75%, he's going to help his team. If it's 60% or below, take him to the back room and boil him in oil and work on him or something, you know. No, just kidding. But you've got to teach them to interrupt. How do I do that? My kids are too shy. They're scared to interrupt. How many of you coaches have had a quizzer? I'm scared to interrupt. Well, you've got to get them out of that. How do you do that? You start having interrupt drills with them in practice. Now, some quizzers are just going to have more of a natural knack for it. I couldn't believe this one dude. Can't remember his name. 13th and Gravoy, the captain. Man, he was interrupting those things when it was unsafe at any speed. But he just had a knack. Most of the time, he could just pull that right out anyway. I've seen other quizzers like that. One is called Terry Atkins from Hornwall, Tennessee. She just has an uncanny knack. She can interrupt after the second syllable and not know what the first one was and make the right question. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but she just has a knack. Some quizzers have more of a knack than others, but it doesn't matter how much of a knack you have, you can improve. Let's all say improve. We can get better than what we are at it by practicing it. Now, coaches, the best thing you can do for your quizzers in the first place to help them with this is say, all right, we're going to have an interrupt drill in 2 weeks over chapter 3. But first of all, for next week, I want every one of you to write as many questions as you can from every verse of chapter 3. What's that going to do for them? They're going to see how many different directions a question can go from the same verse and the same information. See that point? That's going to be in their mind. Then you say, all right, these are nice questions you came up with. You came up with a lot of them. Now I want you to underline. This is another homework assignment. Underline the place in your own questions where it would be safe to interrupt. Okay? And they do that. What does this do in their minds? They begin to think in terms of when it's safe to interrupt a question. When does the keyword come that tells me which direction that question is going to go? There's always going to be a few curveball or knuckleball questions that just blow your minds. We had a contest on one of those last night, but it was a legitimate question. It was just a curveball. You know, those are going to occur every once in a while. But the more you interrupt, the more you'll even get a feel for when that might be coming. Then you actually sit them at the board and you have a group of questions that you wrote on that checker, and you have a point in those questions underlined, and you say, if nobody interrupts by this point, nobody gets it. The only way they're ever going to score points then is to start interrupting by that word you have underlined. Now, you may not do it at the earliest possible point if you're working with quizzers who don't have experience interrupting. Move it down about 3 or 4 words or 3 or 4 syllables. Get them used to just interrupting at all, and then get it moved back to a fine science where they are determining the safest point to interrupt a question. How many of you coaches think you understand that? How many of you quizzers think you understand that? That's
I had to do that several years ago. In 1976, I had a bunch of greenhorns. Only one kid on that team had ever even quizzed before, and all she'd been is a substitute. Hardly ever been in a real deal quiz. And they just didn't. I said, see, we had this team in our state called Aurelia. I still shiver and tremble when I think of them. They had this girl named Luann Hamas, who was a quizzing machine. How many of you remember Luann? And I knew that if we even answered a question against them at the state tournament, we'd have to learn to interrupt. Because this girl was one of those girls with that uncanny knack. And so I got on the room. I said, all right, nobody's going to get any points any time in our quiz practice unless you interrupt by such and such a point. And gradually I began to think, to see, yeah, I can do that. Hey, they started getting a feel of it. Then they got so confident they started running and gunning and missing them. But at least they got into it and they learned the art of interrupting. Let's say interrupting. It's vital. You have to do it to stay in the ring with good teams. Now, what do you do about quiz practice, coaches? Well, you just work on all these areas I've told you about. Don't just do the same thing at quiz practice every time. Don't just quiz. You're not going to accomplish much by just coming there and quizzing. You know, you might just happen to ask the questions that Susie knows that week and think, man, she really knows that chapter. Come to quiz practice and say, now we'll have two official quizzes tonight which will count and we'll keep records of them and put that information on the church bulletin board for all to see. But before we ever do that, and when you do those quizzes that count in practice, do them just like they were here or the North American tournament, because sloppy quizzing in practice makes sloppy quizzing when it counts. I mean, watch them like a hawk on fowls. Don't let them have an inch. If you're strict on them in practice, you won't have to worry about them committing a lot of fouls when they get to something like this. But don't just quiz. Say, we're just going to have speed drills for a while and work on speed. Now we're going to have an interrupting drill. Have those questions prepared. Work on that. Now we're going to work on quoting. Let's see. Sister Smith, you take Jenny and Sally, and Brother Jones, you take David and Horace, and you get their cards and see how well they know chapter so-and-so. Put the bead on them. Don't let them snow you. How many of you quizzers know what it is to snow your coach? The coaches, if you don't just quiz in practice, if you do these other things, they can't snow you. You're going to know what they know. Okay, so occasionally have a pop written test. Now, written tests aren't too good in quizzing, except only occasionally, because it doesn't matter how much you know if you can't get to the buzzer. But it's going to encourage Sally Slow, who's real slow to buzzer, to at least, when you put the result of that pop written test on the church bulletin board, she's going to look good if she did know the material, and that's going to encourage her to work on her buzzer speed. Okay? Now, occasionally, you know what we did at practice? Nothing except prayer. They didn't know that when they came. They got to practice all geared up. Today we're just going to talk a little bit about what we've been studying. What did you get out of chapter 4, Kelly? What's some spiritual truth that really sunk into your heart? What's something that stood out to you that you think is going to help you? I let her talk. We go all the way around and share that. I say, now let's just get down on our knees. We're just going to pray together because we want to be unified. We want to be each for the other. We aren't trying to develop any superstars. We're trying to be a family and a team. And in Seminar 1, I talk about the importance of building a quiz ministry, not just an excellent team. We all want to have as excellent a team as we're capable of having. We always want to push our quizzers to their potential, but we don't just want to have a good team. Because even if they win the national tournament, 5 years from now they're into other things, and that was a nice high in their life, but what's going to stick with them are the principles of responsibility, of learning how to feed themselves from the Bible, of learning how to be dependable, learning how to work in harmony with somebody whose personality just grates them a little. All of those things are the most important parts of quizzing. Let's all say build a ministry.
minister to those young people's lives. And have as good a team as you can have, but the first priority has to be ministering to their lives. Just pray sometimes. Just develop that unity of your quiz family. And coaches, what you've discovered is you have to write questions, and then you have to write more questions, and then some more questions, and you have to write more and more and more and more and more and more questions. How many of you discovered that it's hard to find questions? Because if you use the same questions over and over, forget it. Those quizzes, smart cookies, they start memorizing the questions. And you think, oh, they're getting to where they can interrupt so well. No, they aren't. They're memorizing the questions. You've used them so many times. You can hardly use a quiz that's written out on a piece of paper, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, over twice. Because they start remembering what's coming next. That's why you should always write your questions just like the quizzers write their verses. On 3x5 cards. Every time I wrote a question, I wrote it on a 3x5 card. I filed it by chapter and point value. I used blues for 10s, whites for 20s, and a buff color for 30s. There's nothing sacred about those colors. I'm just showing you we use different colors, so automatically when you look at a question, you know what point value it is. You file them by chapter and point value. And think how many permutations you now have for quizzes. You can use those same questions over because they're not coming in the same sequence. See the point? Pull quizzes from over the amount of chapters you've studied. But once you've used those questions, put them in what you call your used question file and always be replenishing your new question file. But I have found that that is the most effective way to write questions because you can use them over without the quizzers being as apt to start memorizing the questions. So, coaches, I hope that'll be a help to you to develop your own new and used question files. Now, time's up. We don't have time to talk about strategy. We were going to talk a little bit about that. There is one more thing I want to talk to you about. Let me just put an example of how you would do those questions. It's basically how you wrote them and you sent in for this tournament. You put the type of question in the upper left-hand corner, the point value of the question in the upper right-hand corner, question, answer, reference. Okay? In your question file. Now, I just want to tell you one more thing about concepts. Talk to you a little bit about Donald Duck. My wife and I were at a North American tournament. They were called national tournaments back in those ancient days. And it was in Anaheim, California. We were in a tense situation. Round one. And we knew this horrible team was coming up. We were trying to eat lunch. Have you ever tried to eat lunch at a time like that? I wasn't doing very well. I usually got 3 bites of a hamburger now, and that was about it. My wife went up to the cash register and found these stupid-looking little plastic caricatures of Disneyland characters. And she looked at the one down there and came back to me and said, "Honey, this is crazy. We've got to buy one of these for all the cruisers as a little memento of this trip because it looks like quizzer who's hit the buzzer and has no earthly idea of what the answer is." I said, "Yeah, that's pretty good, honey. Let's get those." And so we got it, and we just, as a gag, you know, handed it to them, tried to break the tension. But God had been ministering something to us the last month before that tournament. Our attitude that whole year had been, like I said, we were coming up against this giant of a quiz team in our own district, and we thought, we were just so scared, we don't have a chance, you know. And our attitude had been, okay, we're going to be positive thinkers, and I believe in positive thinking. How many of you do? I hate negativism. I think it's from the pits. But you also have to be realistic. You can become so positive that you fail to be realistic, and then that almost becomes a liability. But our attitude had been, you know, the Bible says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might." We're going to study more. We're going to work harder. We're going to work the hardest. And therefore, we're going to win, you know, psyching ourselves up. And we just carried that motto all year. At that time, the Cincinnati Reds were the world champion baseball players, and we were nicknaming our quiz team the Big Red Quiz Machine, just all kinds of little things like that. But God started dealing with me. God started dealing with my wife. You don't know the hours we had put in on quitting. Some of you do because you do it too. Our kids have been studying like 40 and 50 hours a week that summer. I believe in work. I believe God, you can't expect God to bless what you don't do. But what God is ministering to us is don't just depend on your work alone. Because what's that going to produce in you if you do win? It starts with a P and has an I in it. A whole lot of pride. Is that the spirit we want to permeate Bible quizzing? No. We want to do our jobs well. Anything we do, it's worth doing is worth doing well. But we don't want to have our thumbs in our chest after we have a little success, do we? And God was dealing with us. And what he was dealing with us about was a little scripture in Zechariah 4:6. Not by might. We're good because we've studied so hard. Not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Anything that is approached in the spirit of God, you don't depend on your human ability alone. Amen? So what God was teaching us is work hard. Whatsoever that hand finds, do it with all your might. Put in the work, but once you get to a tournament, do what Donald's done to his right hand here. Stick it all behind you. That's all behind you now. And when you get to a tournament, start reaching for God in it. I believe God will be involved in our lives to the degree that we let him be involved. I really do. God's not involved in some areas of some people's lives because they exclude him from those areas. They think God doesn't care about this, so God is shut out from this. But what God was teaching us is reach for the right response to whatever happens. Rather than reaching for trophies and honor, go into the tournament saying, God, we're putting all this hard work behind us, and now we ask you by your Spirit to help us remember what we studied, to bless us and help us with what we have done, not with what we haven't done.
Oh, Lord, we're depending on you. All those other guys studied hard. We're just depending on the Spirit. None of that. You got to work. God's not going to bless your laziness. But once you've done all that, we'll put it behind you and say, Lord, we're going to reach for you in this whole experience. And God, whatever you know is good for us, let that happen. And then whatever happens, whatever you allow, help us to respond. Let's all say respond. Respond to it in a way that would please you. Bill Gothard says, God is not as concerned with what happens to us as he is with how we respond to what happens to us. And I think that's a good point. And what God was trying to teach us is learn to respond to whatever he allows to come in a way that will please him. Not those dumb judges. We should have won that tournament. They need to go back to the third grade. You've fallen flat on your face if you got second place in the nation with that attitude. You failed for your quizzing to be the ministry to you that God wanted it to be. See the point? God's concerned with his character being formed in us. And I believe Bible quizzing can be a ministry through which that happens in the lives of young people. And that's what Donald Duck's all about. And now I just want to go over the Quizzer's Creed with you. And I know, Brother Judd, we're about 15 minutes over. It's because Rodney was so slow at speed climbing. Not really. I know most of you can't read all these. Some of you can, but I'll go over them with you. This is a little Quizzer's Creed we developed to just help quizzers remember certain basic principles. There are a few that you could add to this. Like one is, never hit too soon when a question's being reread for you. Amen, St. Paul. A good policy there is to always wait 2 seconds. I just told my kids, you always wait 2 seconds after that quizmaster has stopped talking to make sure you won't do that. Because if you're geared to thinking, I will wait 2 seconds, you're not going to be ready to jump again. And don't race each other to the buzzer on a reread, you know. You're all on the same team, aren't you? We always designated one person on reread. They have first crack. If after a second, they don't, couple seconds, they don't take it, then it's free game for everybody else. And that way it's not everybody on the team racing each other for that reread. You know, you're all on the same side. The other team's not involved, you know. Say teamwork. I've seen quizzes lost due to lack of teamwork. I will pray before I study. I will study every day. Everybody say every. I will pray after I study. I will fast at least once a week. That doesn't mean just between 1 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the morning either. I can and will memorize. The keys to memorization are repetition and concentration. We've talked about that. I will concentrate, shutting everything out of my mind except one thing. Not my girlfriend, the chapter I'm studying. I will review on schedule, even if it means postponing new learning. I can and will improve, let's say improve, my buzzer speed. Every question is a new game. Have you ever seen a quizzer get a foul called on them and they were just, what is my name for the next three questions? They were just totally out of it. Or they did not understand why that quizmaster ruled them incorrect and they spend the next four questions thinking about, first of all, thinking how dumb that quizmaster is and even has an ugly zit on his nose and everything, you know. Just lose four questions because they didn't apply this principle. Every question is a new game. Once that decision has been made, you have no more recourse. It's over. Out of your mind. If you want to worry about it after the quiz, fine, but not the next question. Every question is a new game. Okay, my attitude and spirit will not be based on my performance. A good attitude always wins, and I believe that. I really believe it. Sometimes it takes more of God's grace to win with the right spirit than it does to lose with the right spirit. Amen? I will always remain kind to quiz masters, judges, and other quizzers, and we should add, and my coach. I will listen to what type of, I saw this one violated so many times yesterday. I will always listen to what type of question it is so I can interrupt intelligently. Oh, something that I used to get so upset about is if a quizzer would interrupt a question and make a one-parter out of a two-parter or a two-parter out of a one-parter or interrupt after the first part of a multiple question. Hey, I'm not laughing. That is not funny to coaches. That is a cardinal sin of Bible quizzers. If you did not listen to what type of question it is, you don't deserve to be at the board. That's part of your duty. Now you're seeing the side of me that put some discipline into the United States. I mean it. That's a dumb thing to do. Amen, coaches?
Amen.
Now, I've done it before when I was quizzing the other team. Coaches, you have to understand that they are human, but it shouldn't happen over once in a quiz. Shouldn't happen that often. I will listen for the keywords. In fact, I won't just listen for them and respond after the fact. I will anticipate the keywords that tells me what direction that question is going. I will wait to think. I will not wait. I'm sorry. Light shine. That's important. I will not wait. I saw King doing it yesterday. I talked to the coaches afterwards. I will not wait to think of the answer before I hit the buzzer. If you do, it's too late. Someone else is going to hit, that knows the material, knows that within 30 seconds they can pull it back, they're going to hit that buzzer and have that 30 seconds to think of it and answer it. And you were waiting to think of the answer before you hit the buzzer. Chicken, 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 chicken. Or else lazy, 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 lazy. You didn't study enough to know that you'd know it. You're either a chicken or you're lazy if you do that. Okay? You don't do that. You hit and then by all means, think. Oh, please think. I used to have one quizzer she'd hit. I'm like, oh God, when is she ever going to learn to think before she speaks? She just had a habit, and finally I got to her. I won't say her name. We'll call her Murgatroyd. Okay, Troy, please don't answer until you've thought through that verse and then answer. You've got a full 30 seconds. She talked like a machine gun anyway, so she didn't have to worry about time. And then answer. Clutching is for cars, not people. I will not be intimidated. So what? You're coming up against Gloryville. If you go in, might as well forget it. It's over. You say, hey, we're going to get in here and do our best. That's all we can do. Who knows? Nita might go temporarily insane and Connie might break her arm in the clear. She might win. I will practice interrupting or wish I had. Amen, quizzers? After this tournament, you experience already? You got to practice it. I will practice quotes with flashcards at least an hour a day. I will study no less than 20 hours a week after school's out. And usually more. I know that's quite a bit during school. The more realistic figure is 10 to 12 hours while you're still in school. Remember Zach. That's that little Donald Duck. That's what we named Donald Duck after that, Zach, to remind us of that principle of Scripture. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. And I saw a quizzer make a mistake on this yesterday. I will listen to the quiz master as I interrupt the question. You can think it's going to be a certain question, and you're not listening. He may have said one more syllable that changes the whole question. If you were listening as you interrupted, you'll get it instead of miss it. Another thing, on quotation completion questions, someone made this mistake yesterday. They tried to pick it up where the quiz master left off, and while they were slamming and making all that noise in the table, he said another word, which they repeated and missed the question, and they knew the quote. Coaches, tell them always to go back to the beginning. Don't ever try to pick up where they left off, because you're just inviting disaster. As long as they always go back to the beginning of that quote,